We're back on a Tuesday. It is September 30th, which means tomorrow is the first day of October. I just realized that. So I'm pretty sure September does not have 31 days. Let's check the calendar. Yeah, correct. October 1st is tomorrow. But before we get to the postseason baseball card today, which we do have some bets for, I wanted to do a gentle hat tip to our producer, Denton, for giving us a heads up about National Coffee Day yesterday. Because, Jenks, I don't know if you took advantage, but I definitely did. We went to Dunkin' Donuts as a family and took advantage of the free coffee deal. And you want to know what those absolute all-stars at the drive-thru window did? What? Free coffee? Yeah, on the app. No. It says free coffee for National Coffee Day. It's 4 p.m. We can't be the first people who have pointed this out. Oh, yeah. Can you have your app out and ready to scan? Like, these people at Dunkin' are the absolute worst. Like, I don't know where they find these people, but it's, like, the exact opposite of, like, the people who work at Chick-fil-A. Like, it's the most apathetic, I want to say, like, low-energy high schoolers in Sumner County. I don't know where they find these people, but, like, Dunkin', the customer service is not great, but yet, here I go, going back every single day. So, Jenks, did you get a free coffee yesterday?
I did not. Are they like, I see your application got rejected by Starbucks. Well, that means you are Dunkin' material. Welcome to Dunkin' Donuts. Unfortunately, no. I had to go out to Ashburn and do some work for the Commanders, but I'm glad you got to do it. I was sad because if I had some time, I absolutely would have slid in somewhere and grabbed some coffee. Because as soon as I got out there, the first thing I did was go to one of the little break rooms and make myself some coffee because I needed it. It didn't cost me anything, but it didn't taste the same. Yeah, it is. Like, you can have good coffee and still not the same when you get something free from the actual physical store. So much better.
Yeah, but I'll say this. Maybe it'll make you feel better. Because we went as a family. And so, like, Jake is not a huge fan of Dunkin' Donuts, their coffee. But he got a free coffee, so he got it. He takes one sip, and he's like, Chelsea, this is terrible. Why did we come here? This tastes like creamer-flavored water. He is not a fan of the coffee there, so even though it was free, I'm not sure if he enjoyed it.
Let me ask you this, because I know you cannot stand Dunkin' Donuts. You will not be sponsored by Dunkin' Donuts anytime soon
there
on the show. But that's what I mean. So this is what I don't understand. So I keep hearing, I hate Dunkin' Donuts. I hate Dunkin' Donuts. I hate Dunkin' Donuts. So anyway, I went to Dunkin' Donuts. I'm like, well, then why are you going? Why are you punishing yourself?
Here's the thing. When it comes to refreshers, which are the caffeinated non-coffee beverages, Dunkin', in my opinion, is way better than Starbucks. Starbucks puts, like, bits of strawberries in there. So when you, like, drink it through a straw, you get, like, a chunk of strawberry, and I don't love that. Okay. So, like, Dunkin' does have, like, the slight edge when it comes to refreshers, and I get those a lot. Like, sometimes I don't do coffee, I do refreshers. So when I want a refresher, I go to Dunkin'. When I want a coffee, I go to Starbucks.
Wait a second. They're actually called refreshers? I thought you were using that just as a slang term. Like, when I like a little refresher.
No.
So it's called a refresher. Okay. Okay, good to know.
But it has caffeine in it. So I don't know if I'd call that a refresher, but, like, that's the name they've chosen. And, Jenks, here's the funniest part. So for a while, it was pineapple mango, and then they got all fancy. They're like, oh, no, it's a golden hour refresher. And you're like, do you mean the same pineapple mango one that you've been shelling out for years? I'm like, yeah, it's the same mixture. But it's a golden hour refresher now.
Oh, that sounds great. They just relabel it. You know what I mean? It's like they'll put a new spin on it, new label. We'll add something to it, and it's the same as it's always been. I got to try these refreshers. This is all new to me.
Yeah, I think it's a good option for when you feel, like, thirsty, but you want the caffeine. All right, so if you want a midday refresher, maybe you'll have some baseball to go along with it, because we do have some wild card action today, and I personally cannot wait. If you're going to be betting on baseball today, you might as well do it over at BetMGM and use this MLB Parlay Boost token. Swing big on your next MLB parlay. Use this Parlay Boost token to score a bigger payout if your baseball parlay hits. So, Jenks, let's start with the first game and the most interesting game, in my personal opinion, the Tigers and Guardians squaring off at 1 Eastern in Cleveland. Detroit big favorites in this game, though, minus 165 behind Tarik Skubal. Total of 6.5 runs. I've also seen this at 6 in some spots. Gavin Williams looks like he's going to get the start for Cleveland. So, Jenks, we just had this matchup not too long ago, and I'm pretty sure both of us played the first five under 3.5. So guess what I will be doing in this game? I will once again be playing a first five under 3.5 runs. How about you?
I am making the same pick. I like the card a lot today, which is weird. I thought I was going to be nervous looking at these games because there's obviously a lot more at stake. But that was the first thing I thought was, are you kidding me? Tigers, Guardians, with a total at 6, which is ridiculous. You can go under 3.5 at minus 140. And then, you know, I mentioned this in the previous segment where Tariq Skubal, his last two starts have been against the Guardians, and they've had such a hard time hitting him all season long. Now, he lost those previous two games, but he's allowed 2 earned runs in his last 2 appearances. I don't want to trust my money with the Tigers, particularly at a $1.65, but I will go first five under 3.5 at minus 140. And also, I generally don't look at day-night splits, but Tariq Skubal has pitched a lot during the day. This is a day game. Got a 1 o'clock first pitch. During the day, his ERA drops from 2.21 to 1.77, so I am with you on this bet.
Absolutely. Like, the matchups are great for both of these pitchers because, again, we just saw this matchup. And over the course of the season, like, Tariq Skubal, 28 innings, 2 runs total, pitched against Cleveland this year, including a complete game shutout earlier this season. Then you look at Gavin Williams against Detroit, 17 innings and only 2 runs over 3 starts, and even had 21 strikeouts over his last 2 starts. So he is missing a lot of bats in that Tigers rotation. So, Tigers lineup, I should say. So I feel like the first 500, 3.5 feels like a solid play. Now, I came into this card thinking, okay, unders are going to be the play because game one of the first game of the postseason is going to be one of your best options for an under, for a full game under, because think about it. They've had a couple days off. Their best reliever is going to come out of the pen. And each game is so crucial. So they are going to be managing this bullpen, and the leash is going to be super short on a lot of these guys. But, Jenks, when you get a 6 in the full game, like, that's too low for me. So I think first five makes a lot of sense. But is there any other game that kind of fits that mold for you? Because I will say this, the totals, they be low. We have 7s in all of the other games. Did you consider an under in any other game?
The only other game where I sort of like an under, I think, is the Reds-Dodgers game. Like, Hunter Green has been okay. He's been okay. Let me take that back. He's been very good for the Reds this season, particularly in the second half of the season. He's been okay away from home, right? So his ERA jumps by more than 3 runs when he's not pitching in Cincinnati. So I think maybe the sabotage factor out in L.A. is that if you're looking at a total, is that, okay, maybe the Dodgers hit him up. But I just don't see Cincinnati getting the Blake Snell. I mean, he's just been unbelievable since he got healthy and got right. And this is exactly why they signed him during the offseason. When he is pitching at home this year, 5-1 with a 1.17 ERA. So I like the under out west as well.
Yeah, I think Blake Snell gets good matchup here. Simply because the Red Sox are a team the Reds are a team that strikes out a lot as well. And Blake Snell is a strikeout pitcher. Double-digit strikeouts in 2 of his last 3 games. And you know the adrenaline's going to be going. First game of the postseason for Blake Snell. My only concern is that sometimes Blake Snell does not go deep in games. And my concern for Hunter Green is that sometimes he gives up home runs. Like, he has great swing and miss stuff, but when he misses, he usually misses in the middle of the plate. So that can be tricky if you're talking about a Dodgers lineup that certainly has a lot of pop. All right, Padres-Cubs next. We might as well just do all the games. Chicago short favorites here at home at minus 115. We know Wrigley's going to be rocking a total of 7 runs. Nick Pivetta here going against Matt Boyd, I believe. Jenks, do you have a play in this game?
Yeah, I'm going with the Cubs here. Let's go Cubbies. Mm-hmm. Let's get a win today at Wrigley. And we're seeing some money coming on Chicago. Right now it's at minus 115 at BetMGM, but I've seen this at minus 135 at some places, so make sure you shop around. Go to BetMGM, get the best price. So the money is flowing in the right direction. But ultimately here, as good as Nick Pivetta has been for San Diego, his ERA is 3.55 on the road. Last time he was at Wrigley was earlier this season, gave up 3 runs over 3 innings. And also, I know San Diego can hit for power, but compared to the Cubs, their power numbers dropped off in the latter half of the season compared to Chicago's. Also, look at the Cubs at home this season. 50-39 straight up. San Diego was a loser away from San Diego. 38-43 away from home. So I'll take the cheap price on the Cubs here.
Yeah, I think that's a good matchup for the Cubs. I will say the one thing that goes in San Diego's favor is the fact that their bullpen probably has better arms in it and has more depth, which won't be tested in one game, the first game in the series. But I'll say this, maybe you could make a better case for the Cubs in the first five, because Matt Boyd does have some good games, or at least he has one good game against San Diego. Six shutout innings back on April the 5th. That is a long time ago. But still, I do think that the Padres might have the edge when it comes to the bullpen, so maybe I would stick with the first five. All right, here's an interesting one. Red Sox-Yankees. The Yankees are favored in this one, minus 130. Boston plus 110. Total of seven runs. Garrett Crochet facing Max Fried. Jenks, I feel like if there is a good case to be made for an underdog, it's here with the Red Sox.
Yes, I think this is the one play where I would grab some plus money, because I like some minus money plays today, which I normally do. But, you know, when you have a Red Sox team that will give you plus money and you've got Garrett Crochet on the mound and you've got a Red Sox team that has had a lot of success against the Yankees, particularly early in the year, where they would just win game after game after game against the Pinstripes, and you heard a lot of Yankees fans like, when are we going to get over that Red Sox hump? And they did a better job at the end of the year when the Yankees finally started getting some dubs here. But this is where I want to add some plus money on the card, and I would go Red Sox.
Absolutely. And the Red Sox have been good behind Garrett Crochet against the Yankees this year. And Garrett Crochet in his career, 3-0 with an ERA of 2.90 and 45 strikeouts in seven appearances against the Yankees in his career. I believe the Red Sox are 4-0 against the Yankees this year when Garrett Crochet is starting. And plus, if you look at the matchups here, Garrett Crochet has also pitched really well against Aaron Judge, striking him out 11 of the 15 times that they have faced each other. Should be noted that Aaron Judge has hit two home runs off Garrett Crochet. So maybe if those are timely, that could be a deciding factor here. But still, this is too good of a matchup and too good of a price on a good Red Sox team behind the race. So I think either you take the Red Sox in the first five. I wonder what that price is. I'm sure you're not getting quite as much plus money, but I feel like the Red Sox are a solid play. Plus 105 in the first five innings. So Jenks, would you take first five or full game?
That's a tough one. I think I would just go full game here. I'm betting a lot on the rivalry here. I get that. But I have trusted Garrett Crochet. You know how it is, where sometimes there's a guy that you've been riding for a lot of the season, and he keeps winning. And you could say the same thing about Max Fried. I get that. But when you get, sometimes for me, a handicap is really simple, which is I'm getting a pitcher this good at a plus money price, and I just have to take it. So I would probably go full game, even though there's maybe an advantage here. I just think the Red Sox bats can hang with the Yankees later on. And, yeah, I'm on Boston. I'll keep it simple.
Yeah, I think you could certainly make a case for both. Even though if you do play first five, if this game is 0-0 after five, you are not, you know, counted as a loss in this one. And I'll say this, Max Fried has turned up the strikeouts in his last two starts of the season. 13 strikeouts against the Orioles and 7 against the White Sox. Although, that is not the caliber of team that he will be facing today. So from a viewing perspective, Jenks, which of these games are you the most excited for?
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of drama in the Tigers-Guardians game. Two things. Tigers-Guardians is going to be interesting just because, like, are the Tigers going to suddenly become that team? Can they sort of put the regular season behind them and faltering the second half and say, all right, it's a new deal or a new time for us, right? We have our ace on the mound. Now it's time for us to start playing like we did midseason. We were the best team in baseball. They can do that. Can they do that? Can they get over that Guardians hump, which has really haunted them in the second half of the year? And so I don't know. I mean, haunted them at the very end of the season where the Tigers would try, couldn't get past the Guardians. Would try, couldn't get past the Guardians. So maybe they can do that. I think that's going to be fascinating. Also, you can see an ace on the hill, which is great. And I think there's something special about afternoon baseball, playoff baseball at Wrigley Field. You know, if you love baseball, how can you not love seeing whoever it is playing the Cubs? Even if you don't like Chicago, I think there's something sort of mystical and fun about that. So I'm excited about these two early games.
Oh, absolutely. For me, it's Tigers-Guardians that is the number one most interesting game here, simply because I think if the Tigers win this game, that is a seismic shift in momentum for the Tigers, don't you think? For a team that has not had it together over the last month of the season, the Guardians have had their number, but if they win a very important game won against their nemesis, their in-division rival, that would be huge for the Tigers. And for a team that's 20-1 to win the World Series right now, I feel like maybe that could shift the mindset in Detroit, and maybe, just maybe, that would right things in Detroit, and maybe they could make a run. Because there is a good team in there somewhere. All right, on to the NFL next segment. It's time to play Teaser Tuesday, and I'll give you my favorite teaser legs in the NFL. It's next on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM.